The reading this morning is taken from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 to 22, and it's found on page 267 of the Church Bibles. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi's left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her two daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Emma. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are here and we welcome you by your Holy Spirit. And I ask that you would take my words and make them yours this morning. Amen. The book of Ruth is a great book to read. Ruth and Esther are the only two books in the Bible dedicated to stories about women. And Ruth is a short book, but it tells an incredible story. It's a story of God working through troubled times to provide and to heal and to restore. It's a story of not only the faithfulness of Ruth, but the faithfulness of God. It's a story of love and of salvation. And as we see in stories throughout the Old Testament, it's a story that points to our ultimate Saviour in Jesus Christ. And the story of Ruth came in the time of the Judges. After Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and Joshua had led them into the Promised Land, Judges ruled over Israel for a few hundred years before Israel became a monarchy at the request of the people. The Israelites had seen God work for them in powerful and dramatic ways, for example, to get them out of Egypt through the 10 plagues and then the dividing of the Red Sea to rescue them from the approaching Egyptian army. And I don't know about you, but I often think that if I'd seen God work like that, I'd never have a doubt. But this clearly isn't necessarily true, because even so, they still rebelled and wandered away from God. And in this time of the Judges, there was continued rebellion against God from the Israelites. We're told that in that time, every man did what was right in his own eyes. They were living in unbelief and disobedience towards God. And so often, even today, we know this leads to war between people and lack of unity in our world. And this time of rebellion may well have led to this particular time of famine in Israel. Naomi and her husband Elimelech decided that they should leave their home in Bethlehem to get away from the famine and go to Moab. The Moabites were pagans and descendants of Abraham's nephew Lot from an incestuous union with his daughter. So Naomi and her family ran away from the Promised Land to a pagan land, and one that was outside of God's protection and covenant blessing. Elimelech died in Moab, leaving Naomi a widow, and then their two sons made the decision to take Moabite wives, Ruth and Orpah, who would have also been pagans. And eventually Naomi's two sons died too, leaving Ruth and Orpah widows as well. And being a widow in the ancient world was extraordinarily tough, not only due to the loss of a husband, but also because of loss of status and inheritance and means of income. Widows would have relied on their sons to provide for them, and so the loss of Naomi's sons brought even greater tragedy. It can be argued that some decisions made by Elimelech, Naomi, and their sons were decisions made outside of the will of God, which led to more chaos and pain for them, the consequences being that they were outside of God's blessing and favour. Elimelech and Naomi ran away from their trouble, the famine, to apparent safety in a pagan land without seeking God's guidance and without trusting that he would provide for them if they stayed. Their sons were yoked together, married to unbelievers, when this had been expressly forbidden by God. Naomi and Elimelech had not trusted God. And later we see that after Naomi had lost her husband and sons, she said on her return to Bethlehem, "Don't call me Naomi," meaning pleasant, "call me Mara," which means bitter and sorrow, "for the Almighty has made my life very bitter." She blamed God for the predicament and the pain she found herself in, which, to be fair, was considerable. She'd lost her husband and two sons. She'd been left alone and destitute in a foreign land. And whether God had caused her suffering and loss is a difficult area, and I don't want to get too bogged down in it today, as it's another talk in itself, but just a few thoughts. The tough stuff that happens to us is not caused randomly by God, but we see throughout the Old Testament that God exercised discipline. However, he did warn his people that there would be consequences for their choice to turn away from him. And the Israelites were rebelling against him at that time. And even now, when we know that we live under the new covenant, Jesus has died to pay the price for our sin and shame. We are told that God disciplines his people, perhaps by allowing us to go through hard times and having to utterly depend on him. The choices that we make from time to time that are outside of God's will can also naturally lead through earthly consequences to more pain and trouble in our lives and in the lives of others. And when we turn away from God and rebel against him, if we don't turn back, this will eventually have eternal consequences. But much of our suffering as God's people is not a result of God's discipline for some specific personal sin. We live in a fallen world where Satan is prince. And Jesus told us that in this world we will have trouble. But he also said, "Take heart, because I have overcome the world." God always wins. He loves us and he has promised to turn around our pain and our troubles for our eternal good and for his glory. And in the rest of the story of Ruth, even in this messy world with deep rebellion against God, and in spite of the decisions made by Elimelech, Naomi and their sons, God was working a salvation story. God is love, and he longs to restore and heal our broken lives. God turned around this story for good and for his glory. He turned bitterness and loss into blessing. After Ruth and Orpah had lost their husbands, Naomi saw that the famine in Bethlehem was over and started to return there with her daughters-in-law. But after starting on the journey, she urged them both to return to their people and their gods. She told them that she would have no more sons to marry them. Essentially, she believed that life with her would be grim. Orpah, with reluctance, returned to her people. Ruth insisted that she stayed with Naomi, and they returned to Bethlehem together. Ruth is the shining light of this story. She was provision from God to Naomi, who otherwise would have returned to Bethlehem alone with no support. And once in Bethlehem, Ruth was a widow in a foreign land. And so on the margins and edges of society, she had turned away from her pagan gods. And by the grace of God, she had turned to and believed in the God of Israel. And the rest of the story shows us how through Ruth's courage, commitment, and faithfulness to God, she watched how God, in his faithfulness, provided for her needs and for Naomi's needs too, not just materially, but relationally. She had left her people to be with Naomi. Ruth loved Naomi and entered into a committed and lifelong covenant friendship with her. It's one of the greatest stories of friendship in the Bible. Ruth said to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die." And in doing so, Ruth was not only formally declaring commitment to Naomi, but most importantly, she was declaring her commitment to God. She clearly chose to put her trust in the God of Israel. She trusted that God was faithful to provide. But Ruth didn't just sit back and wait for God to provide. She took initiative and she was prepared to step out of her comfort zone. And we see lots of events happening in the rest of the story that might look like coincidence, but were so clearly God at work. Gleaning is a gathering of crops left over after a harvest. And God made it clear that gleaning should be left to the poor, the foreigner, the orphan and the widow as a means of provision. And today we can apply that to ourselves by not seeking to gather and store that which we don't need, but to give away excess to those who need it for whatever reason. And Ruth knew that gleaning was her right and that this might provide enough for her and Naomi. So she went out and she found herself in a field that just happened to be owned by Boaz, a kind man who knew the Lord and allowed her to glean as much as she wanted in safety because he'd heard about what Ruth had done for Naomi. And it just so happened that Boaz turned out to be a guardian redeemer for their family. A guardian redeemer was a near relative to the deceased husband who would, in the case of no children to inherit the land, buy the land and at the same time marry the widow. Their firstborn son would then ensure the family line of inheritance. And Naomi soon instructed Ruth to go and ask Boaz to be her guardian redeemer. And Ruth courageously did just this. And it's an amazing part of the story. And Boaz agreed after ensuring that a nearer relative did not want to be the redeemer. He therefore redeemed her. He married Ruth, and Naomi would have been cared for and provided for by them. Boaz and Ruth went on to become the parents of Obed, who in turn became the father to Jesse, who in turn became the father to David, who became king of Israel. So Ruth, a Moabite woman from a pagan background, widowed and now living on the margins of society in a foreign land, came to know the Lord, to see him provide, and to become part of the ancestral line for Jesus. And this provision of a guardian redeemer for Ruth points us to Jesus, our ultimate guardian redeemer. This time God himself paying the price for our sin and saving us from sure and certain death in order that we might inherit the kingdom of heaven. And because we know the whole of the story of Naomi and Ruth, and because we know that Jesus came further down the descendant line for Boaz and Ruth, we have the privilege of a great vantage point to see God weaving his purposes and plans through a troubled story to bring redemption and provision and to turn a story around to bring eternal consequence and glory. And you may be in a part of your story at the moment where the future looks troubled, uncertain, even bleak. Maybe you are struggling to see God in the midst of your circumstances. Maybe you're in a waiting time, just waiting to see where God will take you. How will you respond? And there are things in this story that show us something of how to respond when we find ourselves in the middle of a troubled time. Sometimes we just can't see where God is in the midst of our story. We don't have that vantage point down the generations. Naomi felt like this on her return to Bethlehem. She went so far as to blame God for everything that had happened to her. She believed in him, but seemingly had lost trust and hope. And it's okay to have moments where we are crying out to God and perhaps each other, distressed, grieving, and in pain. We can read these cries in the Psalms. It's okay to experience and name difficult and deep emotions. Jesus grieved and he wept and he cried out to his Father in pain, but his tears were never without hope. And our tears, our grief, should not be with despair or blame towards God, because he has promised to never leave us and has promised to provide all that we need. And Naomi's pain after losing her husbands and sons perhaps blinded her to God's provision. She had had one loss after another, bitter blows to her life, and she was still saying how much she'd been afflicted by the Lord, even after Ruth had declared loyalty and committed friendship to her. Let us not be blinded to his provision, the things or people he has already given us. I know I sometimes do that. I miss the things or people God has already provided because I want more, or I'm looking elsewhere, or I'm looking back at loss. And at the start of the story, we remember that Naomi and Elimelech had not trusted that God would provide during the time of famine. And so they ran away from their trouble to seek apparent comfort in a pagan land, and it didn't turn out quite as they'd hoped. Let us not run away from times of trouble without seeking the guidance of the Lord for the next step. Let us not lack trust that he will provide as we stay in relationship with him and cling to him. I found over the years that looking back and remembering what God has done in the past helps to wait on him in the present. Forgetting what he's done or running to apparent safety before asking him to guide has been far less fruitful in the longer term. Sometimes we have to wait or turn things down, potential jobs or security or relationships, even when some may think we've missed something, or we're foolish to wait before the Lord, or foolish to believe that he is faithful to provide. And in following God, we may have to go on a path towards the unknown, but we can be sure that he has already gone before us. And it takes courage and being prepared to go out of our comfort zone. We only have to look at Ruth. Her conversion was tested. Ruth declared commitment to Naomi even when Naomi was not encouraging her about what their future would hold and was perhaps less than effusive about the character of God. But Ruth had so clearly encountered him and was a woman of such deep faith that she courageously followed the Lord, even when from an earthly point of view, her future looked uncertain and bleak. She didn't know what would happen next, but she clung to the hope of our living God and trusted him to provide, even when all perhaps seemed impossible. By the grace of God, she knew that she believed in a God who loved her and can do all things. I mentioned while standing here speaking back in June that as a family, we don't know where we're going. We have to leave here. Alwyn's contract has come to an end with the diocese, and it's been a long and tiring process looking for the next place, not without stress at times for us and our boys, and not without many cries to the Lord. And during the last 5 years, some of you may have heard Alwyn say that the Lord is never in a hurry, but he's always on time. If you've heard it as many times as me, you might have got started to get a little bit annoying, but it's true, because ultimately God is the Lord of time. And today God is calling us as a family to live out the reality of this particular truth. And in June, I also said that we believe that God is faithful. And even though we're now in September, and we still don't know where we're going to end up in the longer term, we continue to believe that he is faithful. We've seen God provide for us in the past years and also recent evidence of his faithfulness even through uncertainty. He's provided through the kindness and generosity of people in this church, Ali and Tristan, a place for us to live for some months while we still look and seek his will. He's provided work for me. He's provided precious people in our lives to encourage us and pray for us. And we are going to miss you greatly as a community. It's painful and deep loss for us to leave here today. But we have the peace of God in our hearts, and we know that he's already gone before us to the next season of our lives. And we also believe that as this church starts a new season, that God will provide for you in areas where you've experienced deep loss. Naomi was provided with deep friendship and care through Ruth, which in the end also led to her material needs being met. So God not only provides for material needs, but he knows our spiritual, emotional, and relational needs as well. And God knows that there's been deep relational loss in this church over the last year. Some of you will have been touched very greatly by this. I know we have through the loss of Trevor, but please know that God is faithful to provide relationships in our lives that will not directly replace those lost. That can never happen, but will be a great blessing and meet our needs in the next season. And we believe that Dan, as the vicar starting here this coming week, together with his wife Louise, are God's people for this role at this time. I met with Louise recently, and as I was speaking to her, it seemed clear that they're coming here with a desire not only to lead this church forward with the help of God, but even more to love you, to love HTR. And we will be praying for even more of Jesus more of his Holy Spirit, more growth, more unity, and more transformation in this community in the coming months and years. And we have seen how God weaved his purposes and plans through the story of Ruth. And I believe that when we reach heaven, and maybe even before, although we can't always see the full picture now, we will see how God has weaved his purposes and plans through the story of this church down the generations, and how he is weaving his purposes and plans through the story of your life, my life, even in troubled times. And I was touched by Trevor's last talk 2 days before he died, where he said that even in illness and death, God will work for the good of those who love him. And even in our troubled times, God can turn our story around for his glory.